Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Allegedly with me, Matthew Cole Weiss. And today, Theo, I think, is in like Sheboygan or something doing comedy.
Solid.
So we have a special guest host, one of our regulars who has hosted with us before and has been a guest, Mr. Josh Peck.
Thank you.
Welcome, Josh.
God bless.
And since you have been on here, I believe I'd like to take sort of credit that we inspired you to start your own podcast.
I did. I have my own podcast, which you don't know that you'll be doing right after this.
Oh, this is a two. Session.
Directly after.
Yes. Or just use the same audio and hope people don't listen to both.
Yeah, I think so.
What's your podcast called?
It's called Curious. Really? I know.
Why Curious?
That sounds like my teenage years.
Oh, because you're curious.
Sure.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
What is the concept of your podcast?
It's just me, but it's basically me asking favors to anyone remotely famous that I've ever known my entire life.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it's gone well. People have said yes. Yeah. I can't believe it.
That'll stop.
Yeah.
You'll run out of people.
And where are you doing it? Is it out of your house? How is it working?
So that's
the podcast thing, which is obviously now a whole thing.
Yes.
When it first started, I was like, okay.
Right.
Let's see what this thing goes. And now, you know, it's part of a publicity tour for a movie. So I'm like, all right, this is in the basement of the Comedy Store. But if you're in the garage of your house and you get enough listeners,
what's the diff?
And there's a movie being pushed around,
right?
We're coming to your house, Josh.
Welcome.
It's wild.
Hope you love North Hollywood.
By the way, hold on. Please. That voice that you hear is that of Jake Johnson, our special guest
today.
Star of the new movie Tag, which comes out June 15th.
That's right.
Everybody has seen the trailer. It looks hysterical, based on a true story. Also stars Ed Helms and Jon Hamm and Isla Fisher and lots of people. Looks fantastic. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Now you can continue if you had a thought.
Oh, well, first of all, now that you've named everyone in this movie that I cannot wait to see, is there ever too many famous people in a movie? Like, do they ever stack the deck too much?
Well, as an actor in it, no.
No.
Because the more famous people, the less responsibility to open the movie and the less blame if it doesn't open.
Right.
So on a movie like this, it was, when I first heard about it, it was based on a true story and all that fun stuff. So I wasn't initially pulled deeply in because of a premise of Tag. So I knew the director. I'd worked with him on Idiot Sitter, a show on Comedy Central.
Oh, yeah. We had
Charlotte and Jillian.
Jillian, yes. And as guests early on.
Hard, funny women.
So funny.
Yeah. And so he told me about it, and I was like, yeah, okay, I see the bits of it. And he's like, I want to shoot the action like it was action. And then I said, who's involved?
Right.
And he said, well, Renner is tied in. He wants to, for sure. Helms, Jon Hamm, Hannibal Buress, Isla Fisher, maybe like Rashida Jones, Leslie Bibb. And all of a sudden, I'm like, ooh, I get to just like sneak in a solid batting order there. Like,
yeah,
oh, I can be number second or number seven. Let's just, let's make a movie, everybody.
It's a no-brainer.
So it, for me, maybe for audiences, they'll say like, nah, too many cameo pop-ups. But for an actor in it, it's the easiest, yes.
I like, you call him Renner? Are you guys like...
Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, no, I know who it is.
No, but I'm not.
I call him Nightwolf.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I was growing up, people call you by your last name. It seemed like a very like guy thing to do.
Yeah,
you know, like
bros.
Like what's up, Peck?
Yeah,
and what's up, Weiss?
Feel
but
tough.
That also means you know someone, so that's why I was like,
You know, everybody in this movie, nobody was too cool for the group.
Really?
Yeah.
And you truly see that sometimes happens though.
Yeah. there's somebody who sucks. Look at every movie and everything. There's one person that everybody goes, that person sucks.
That's funny because we've had a lot of people. We just had Daniel Brühl in last week from The Alienist on Son of a Movie. And we've had a lot of people come in and say that, surprisingly, it's not necessarily the main star. You know, like the biggest star, like Tom Cruise or whomever.
Yeah, that's
we've actually had Kevin Pollak in here. We're talking about Tom Cruise. It's not Tom Cruise. He's not a dick. He's a good guy. But it's these other people who are kind of whatever.
My friend Oliver, his dad, while we were growing up, owned a steak restaurant in Chicago called Hugo's.
Mm.
No, Gibson Steakhouse. It was Hugo's.
Super famous.
Yes,
yeah,
super famous.
Of course.
And... you know, when you're growing up, celebrity is a huge thing. So we would always, whenever, you know, Hugo would talk to us, we would ask, like, who's in there? Who'd you talk to? And he said that the bigger the star, the nicer the person. The lesser the star, the more demands and the more, like, ego and specialty of a seat and how they need everything prepared five people speaking for them.
Right.
But he goes, but then Tom Hanks comes in here.
Yeah.
And it's just dude. Like... anybody else.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, I did...
Which would then mean I'm one of the biggest cocksuckers in the universe.
Hey, if it...
Exactly. So suck my dick, bitches!
If
I did
you
your
don't
podcast,
know who it is,
podcast over. Podcast over. Where's my pay?
You know what they say, if you don't know who it is, it's you.
Exactly, that's right.
The truth is, most of us, including myself, brush our teeth the wrong way. It's either not long enough or you forget to change the brush on time. Actually, the brush that I was using before I got my Quip, I've probably been using for about a year, and probably not the best way to brush your teeth. But then I discovered Quip. For starters, Quip is an electric toothbrush that's a fraction of the cost of those bulkier brushes. It still packs the right amount of vibrations to help clean your teeth. It's got a built-in timer, so you do the right amount of time, which is 2 minutes with guiding pulses that reminds you when to switch sides. And Quip has a subscription plan that is for your health, not just for your convenience. They deliver a new brush head on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5, including free shipping worldwide. It comes with a mount that suctions right to your mirror and unsticks to use as a cover for hygienic travel wherever you take your teeth. And finally, and this is the biggest thing for me, everyone loves Quip, including my girl Oprah. She, as well as Time, named it one of the best inventions ever, and it's the first subscription electric toothbrush accepted by the American Dental Association. They're backed by a bunch of dentists and hygienists, and trust me, I've got my Quip. It has made my life not easier, but it has made it better because it reminds me to brush my teeth and do it correctly. And I know I'm going to appreciate this as I get older and my teeth don't start falling out of your mouth. So if you want a special offer, this is for our listeners only. It just Quip starts at just $25, but if you go to getquip, getquip.com/Theo, T-H-E-O, that's getquip.com. com/Theo, right now, your first refill pack is free with a Quip electric toothbrush. That's your first refill pack free, and anything free is awesome, at getquip.com/Theo. Getquip, getquip.com/Theo.
You're the fish.
Well, you're the fish,
well,
dude.
To say, it's the truth. It's really true with poker. And, oh, yeah. I'm a big poker player.
Me too.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah.
Love the game. Where do you play? Do you really play around? Are you in a home game or do you go to the casinos?
Both.
Yeah, me too.
I just went to, I spent my last weekend, or what was it? Memorial Day weekend at Pechanga.
For sure.
Romantic.
Where, with my brother, where we played poker and bingo. They have a bingo hall. Which okay. I did like growing up. I grew up in the middle of nowhere, you know, whatever. And so the exciting thing to do was literally to go to the bingo hall.
That's hilarious.
Well, maybe it was an exciting thing to do for me, not for the people who had lives.
I am not a gambler, but I used to drink heavily.
Yes.
And so I would sometimes on a weekday at 4 a.m. find myself at like Commerce Casino.
Yes. Sure.
Playing like 2-4 big blinds. And it was bad.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, you
see, I disagree. I'm still doing it. And I love it. I worked at the Hollywood Park Casino when I first moved here.
Oh, no.
Classy.
Yeah, the old one. And now I guess it's all knocked
out. It's renovated. It's very nice.
But my first job here in LA was being, you know, when you go to those California casinos, there's the person at the table games who's got a badge.
Yeah.
And they act official.
Yeah.
Well, I worked for that company.
Okay.
It was called corporate management. Uh-huh. And we were, you know, people at the table would refer to us as management. We had no affiliation to the casino. So all of that is just this ruse to show that like, oh, we're an authority. But all we're doing is buying the basically the dealer button.
Right.
So you just sit there with money and you can cover all bets because in California casinos, you can't play blackjack against the house.
Right.
So you have to play against other players.
Right.
So if the three of us went to Hollywood Park and said, we want to play blackjack. Right. And there was no corporation. Well, then we have to bet against each other. And you know that $1 ante?
Yeah.
Someone's got to say $3 ante and then they're the dealer.
Right.
Corporation, if nobody volunteers, automatically takes it.
Right.
So they put a big stack. They make you wear button downs.
And you were acting. This was one of your first acting gigs, I would assume.
Too late. I was 27, but and acting gig.
Oh, okay.
But that was the beginning of the love of these California casinos.
Wow. So what we'll get back to the movie in 1 second. What kind of
scumbags did you come
in
contact with?
No.
I want to know.
I bet.
Yes.
Yes.
What the limits are that you play now and versus when you played then?
Oh, you know, honestly, it's funny enough. Always kind of the same.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I can go. I'm a good player. I thought I was a much better player than I was. My cousin, Frank Rusnak, who's a pro, and he plays out and, you know, won tournaments, lives in Vegas, bought a house with winnings.
Holy.
I've played with him a little bit, and it feels like a guy playing pickup basketball at the Y versus, like, a professional athlete.
Right, right.
Where you're like, I mean, I guess I'm 6'4", and you're only 6'5", but... there's just a difference in us.
Yeah.
And so, like, I'll go to, I'm not a guy who's going to drop 10,000 bucks.
So, hey guys, I'm guessing the couch that you have now is kind of bulky and stained and out of style, shredded by pets, heavy to move. Just not you. You know what? That's exactly my couch right now, and I need a new one. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to Barrow, because Barrow is the luxury couch for real life. It's no wonder it's the internet's favorite couch. It really is. They've truly reinvented the shopping experience, so you can go online or to a showroom near you and get a good couch. It's affordable luxury, the same quality that you'd expect from high-end retailers without breaking the bank. All the furniture is shipped fast, and the shipping is free, which is awesome. Its setup is super easy. Barrow is adaptable, so if your space changes, their modular design allows it to move and grow with you. It's got stain-resistant fabric and a built-in USB charger. You can even enjoy 30 days of cozy on your Barrow risk-free, or try out Barrow at one of the showrooms today. So, for our fans, which is all you guys, if you go customize your own Barrow and get $75 off your order, that's 75 whopping dollars, by visiting Barrow.com/allegedly. That's Barrow, Barrow.com/allegedly, Allegedly, for $75 off your purchase. Barrow makes the luxury couch for real life. Because I just watched Molly's game, and I was thinking of these games they had with the celebrities and everything, yeah. But they were such huge buy-ins. I don't think I could ever do it.
I got a funny Molly's game story. So Mike Sarah, who's an old friend of mine,
yeah.
We were in New York, and we play cards at a guy named Jeff Baines' house, who holds a weekly game. And
you really play? I like this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I want to play.
You missed another abbreviation, Mike Sarah. Okay.
Oh, you're right.
Me and Mike Sarah, oh, yeah. Renner.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, cool. I like this.
Who could I drop next?
Tommy Cruise.
So what is the oh, it's Michael Sarah. Okay. I was like, what did I? Okay, Runner was the weird one. But yeah, Michael Sarah. But he was, when he was doing promotion, or not promotion, when he was research for that Molly's game.
Yeah.
He was let into private games in Manhattan. So illegal backroom games.
Wow.
This is a big fascination for me because... I just love a shady backroom game when it's not with friends. So a poker game with friends is
then
fun.
It changes the
But if everybody's
dynamic.
Friends of friends, there's. I don't like poker small talk. Right. I don't care if you're smoking weed at the table, but if it's your hand, play your fucking hand.
Be in it.
Be in it. Because right. My fun is not somebody telling a funny story while we're holding hands. It's when the table creates a rhythm, you're all reading each other.
Right.
And then even when you're busting each other, you're in it together. So somebody can go, that was a nice hand, man. And that breaks the tension as opposed to the funny story. So he goes, I was in town doing press for something. And he goes, I got a game. You want to go to it? And I was like, yeah, for sure. He calls somebody up. We're in the mid-20s on, like, I think 5th and 6th around that area. They're just storefronts. It's the part of Manhattan that's, like, just not that cool.
Yeah.
But there's, like, weird restaurants.
It's like the flower dish over there.
It's fine.
Yeah, yeah, near Penn Station-ish. Yeah,
there's not, like, hip. There was no, like, cool black and white photos of it.
This was, like, full-on, like, rounder style. Not like Molly's game where they're in this big, like...
Exactly, full-on rounder style.
Okay, got it.
And we get buzzed in. We go up these stairs. A guy pats us down. There's a little camera. We walk into a room.
I've said this before, and I'm saying it again. My Lisa mattress is friggin' awesome. It has given me the best night's sleep that I've had in my whole life. And it has really revolutionized my sleeping habits, because sleep is a very important part of life. You know, sleep helps you make better decisions. It improves your memory. You make fewer mistakes. It's not marketing. It's science. And to design a better mattress, Lisa leveraged 30 years of experience and hundreds of hours of testing to develop the perfect mattress for all body shapes and sleeping styles. Yes, even my body shape. Their mission is to provide a better night's sleep for everybody. And through their 110 program, they donate one mattress for every 10 they sell. That's over 26,000 mattresses and counting. Lisa strives to leave the world better than they found it, but that doesn't just stop with mattress donations. Together with the Arbor Day Foundation, they plant one tree for every mattress they sell and are committed to planting 1 million trees by 2025. So this summer, you can get $130 off a Lisa mattress, and trust me, it's worth it. And this is only for our allegedly fans. You'll get $130 off your Lisa mattress if you go to lisa.com/allegedly. Lisa, LEESA.com/allegedly, ALLEGEDLY. Trust me, it is going to change your sleep and change your life.
There's about 50 people playing at these little tables. There's a refrigerator with Heineken, a lady walking around with like giving $2 Heinekens out. You go to an area with the guys, the bank. There's a dude next to him with a gun, but like very casually with a gun.
Of course.
Sure.
And you're just like, oh, cool. A dude in Manhattan with a gun.
A firearm.
Yeah, a firearm.
I see.
An hour ago, we smoked a little bit of weed and had a beer, and now I'm going to try to act like totally chill about this. Bought in, played cards. Everybody at the table was just like dead serious in the game. I was exploding with excitement, but I couldn't show it.
Yeah, of course.
But everything, there was like little TVs in the corners, and I was like, oh, this is just what I always wanted
to
be.
That's what dreams are made of.
And I asked him about it, and he said he was led into these games because of that. He had somebody show him around.
Were you invited back? Were you invited back? That's my question.
I haven't been back to New York, but I got a guy's number. But now so much time has passed, I won't be like, I was in a show called New Girl. My name is Jake Johnson. Please IMDb me. Tag the guy with the beard. So that life moment's too humiliating. So unless I'm with Mike, I'm not doing it.
Anyone with a good Russian accent? Any Teddy KGB style
There
characters?
Was no Malkovich type.
All right.
But it was a United Nations of players.
Wow.
And there wasn't one group at the table. I'm like, everybody's represented here.
Right.
I'm like, I don't know. Like, this is no longer America. This is this weird room. Wow. Right? And I was like, God bless. But like when it was time for food, a lady walked around and said, I'm going to the Chinese restaurant. And everyone just like yelled out orders. But like you would at a friend's house who was like ordering Chinese food.
Right.
Where I was like, I'll throw in for some Mongolian beef. Yeah. And I was like, how do I pay? And someone's like, your chips. And I was like, here, 10? Like, right. What is happening?
Suppose I'll take an orange chicken lunch special.
Yeah, but I was like, I wasn't even hungry, but I'm like, I just want to be part of this.
Yeah,
right. I want you to go down and get Chinese food and then like pass me the check.
You want the full experience.
I want the whole experience.
And last question, how'd you do?
I didn't do great.
No.
And I didn't do great. You know, I'm not an excellent player, but I can play. I was like so excited that when I would find myself in a big hand, I'm not a guy who gets nervous guy really with that kind of stuff, but I found myself really nervous.
Yeah.
Small hands where I'd be like,
sure.
Re-raise and I'd be in like $60. And a guy would go, a guy who, if I was with him at Commerce or a bike, be like, whatever, you're a medium player. You're just here for the party. He would go, 60's a big bite, big bet, kid. And I'd be like, yeah, I guess it is. And I'd be like, my fucking hands are shaking.
Yeah.
Get me out of here. And I was like, the whole thing got on top of me.
This is my last poker question, I promise. When you're at Commerce or something, do people recognize you that you play with? They're like, oh, you're the dude from The New Girl. Or...
Well, my play has slowed down. I got 4-year-old kids now.
Oh.
I got twin girls who are 4. Oh. So since that happened, I haven't been able to go as much.
Okay.
But when the show first started, it was before my girls were born, and I don't really get recognized too much. Hmm. I get more like I'm a weird friend of a friend.
Hmm. Or high school.
Yeah, so right. I get a lot of eye recognition from people, weird smiles. Mm. But you know where I'm like, we're vibing like we know each other. I know I don't know you.
Right.
But the dynamic between us is, when did we party? Let's figure it out. But I've already figured it out. You've seen something I'm in.
Right.
So it's that.
But you can't let them know that you figured it out, because then it feels like.
And guess what? Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
Because then I go, you're a fan. And then they go, I went to high school with you, asshole. But so no, awesome. I had it a couple times. There was one guy that was very shocking, where there was like a 70-year-old Armenian guy next to me at a table once, and out of the blue, I think it was season 1 of the show, and my character and Zoe's character, it was all a will they, won't they for us two. And Max's character, Max Greenfield, was with Hannah Simone's character, and they had a will they, won't they. And I was sitting next to this guy. There was none of that eye recognition up to it. And he leaned over after about an hour of playing quietly, and he goes, "If you don't end up with the girl with the bangs, the show's shit."
The 70-year-old yes. Armenian.
And
guy.
I thought, like, whoa. And then another guy at the table was like, "I've seen it, man." And I'm like, whoa, you guys played that really casually.
And he's like, "Also, do you want to buy an iPhone?"
Exactly. And I will, yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Is it going to be cheaper here?
I get you a good deal.
But I do feel, I don't know if you had this, Josh, but there's a weird thing that happens is you know when you're being recognized.
Right.
Even if no one says anything.
Right.
So I'll have, like, in this situation, when somebody comes up after we've made eye contact and a moment has passed, if I don't get a read on them and then they go, when they're leaving, like, "I didn't want to bother you. I love the show."
Right.
That's when I get thrown off. Because I'm like, ooh, we connected. I thought I had a read, and my read was, "You have no idea."
Huh.
The whole meal went by, and then when, like, the waiter at the end goes, "Anyhow, I'm excited to see Tag." And I'd be like, "What in the fuck?"
Yeah.
You are a dark human.
A whole thing has been going on.
Yes, but also, your eyes don't even show it. You're a psychopath. You're an animal.
Wow.
I get this
weird...
No,
that's too far.
There goes your tip, sir.
Exactly.
I get this weird thing where, because I was on a big kids show growing up.
Of course.
And so then, like, kids will come up to me because it's still on in reruns. And so, like, some 16-year-old girl will be like, "Hey, you can have a picture. I love the show." And then I'll almost always see the father clock me, her dad, like, clock me and be like, "Who is this asshole?"
Amazing. Mm-hmm.
Totally. And then they come up and they feel the need to go, "Listen, I have no idea who you are."
Yes, that's right.
"But my daughter here is going gaga over you." And I recently, I said to a guy, and I couldn't hold myself back, I said, "Can I give you a little advice?" And he said, "Okay." I said, "You don't have to let me know that you don't have fucking any idea who I am." I said, "Just let your daughter be stoked, and that's okay." Yeah. And he's like, "Yeah, all right." That's, and I think
by the way,
it.
I totally know what you mean, because it's a new girl. I think it's a similar base,
sure,
as your show, in that I do have younger girls who are now older girls because the show is 7 years. You're like, "Oh, right, you're growing up." Whenever they're with an older man who is like a guy's guy, they always, that dude always has to make it clear to me he doesn't know.
Right.
And it's not offensive. My feelings aren't hurt. I don't feel any of that. But I also feel like, who gives a fuck?
Right.
None of this has anything to do with you. She's excited. I'm willing to take the pic. Get the fuck out of here, Dad. Stop being involved in the moment.
Take the pic. Make sure it's not blurry.
Right. And guess what, Dad? We all know you're going to blow it. So tighten up your game.
Right. Totally.
Well, here, I'll add to mine. I'll add to this, because for many years I was on TMZ.
Oh,
I was on camera there. For, I started out and I was on for 6 years. So I would get recognized a lot of the people who would, that same thing, "I know you," whatever. But also with the dynamic of TMZ, because it takes shit at people, they would feel that it was okay to just say to me, like, "Your show's awful," like, whatever, you're a piece of shit. Actually, one of them was on the ride at Universal at the Jurassic Park ride. And there was a person behind me, like, "You're buckled in, you're in, nobody's going anywhere." And this person recognized me in the beginning and said, "Oh, you're on TMZ." And then the whole ride, it was like, "Fuck it, dude." And I was like, "All right, dude, I just want to see the dinosaurs, you know?" Like,
yeah, totally.
I like Vin Diesel as much as you do.
Yeah.
And I'm here for the Fast and the Furious experience.
Exactly. I'd turn around and punch you if I wasn't buckled in, which is not true. I wouldn't do that either.
Turn around and punch you if I wasn't buckled in and a totally different person.
Yeah, exactly.
I can guarantee I would win, which you can never really do, because now with martial arts and UFC shit, you never know.
Exactly. All right, getting back to Tag, which we said had this, has a great cast, but also a premise that they bill as a true story, right?
Yeah.
Is it, like, how true is it?
I mean, I think it's really true.
Like, really? Did you meet the, like, actual people who tagged?
Yeah, I mean, we did. It wasn't the kind of movie where you did, like, research beforehand.
Right.
Underworld of Tag.
Yeah, he's, like, playing all the different versions of Tag, freeze tag. And
no, there was none of that.
Gotten a duck goose for a while. It was weird.
It wasn't that. But when we were doing, there was an ESPN doc on it. So when the director was doing the hard push, and everybody was involved in it, he sent a link to the doc. And, you know, I'm a documentary guy, so that format just works for me. So seeing it like that, they had, like, the perfect music, and the voice was, you know, the narration was like, "After 20 years, they've continued." And I'm like, oh, I'm having the thing. Like, it's working.
Right.
Because at its core, the sweetness of the movie and just what it is they use this goofy game to stay in each other's lives.
Right.
And they all showed up at the premiere last night, and they're all mid-50s, is that right?
Oh, the actual guys.
60, yeah, they're all there.
Were they playing at the premiere? Did they play?
No. And that's been the most annoying part of press of this.
I'm sure everyone's asking you if you play tag and whatever.
It's a mind-boggling experience to do a movie about a game of tag and then be in a press interview with a grown-up, a professional reporter. For lack, I don't know the proper word, but you know, whoever does the junkets.
A broadcaster.
A broadcaster. Sure. Thank you. That's better. Thank you. That's better. They're not truly reporters. They're broadcasters.
I'm so glad we have you here.
But then they would say, so did you play tag growing up? And I'd say, probably, yeah, when I was 5 or 6. Sure. Yeah. But my group of friends weren't the group that did this. So we're making a movie about them. And they would say, who was the best on set?
Like the best tag player?
And then I'd be like, I don't know, because we would never think to play tag while shooting a movie about tag. And if we did, like, imagine the question you're asking. Right. Imagine the reality where that is, where you've got a cast of people from late 40s to, you know, mid 30s with Hannibal. We're all shooting a movie, goofing around. They call cut, and Renner runs up, hits me on the back, and goes, you're it. And then we all play, you know, slap ass for 20 minutes.
Right.
What world would that exist in?
That's the answer they want to hear. You know, that's why they ask. They want that answer, but it's not reality.
But it's not
you tell it like it is.
Yes, but the truth of it is we all did get along. So the game, like what we played together was like having a couple cocktails and goofing around and getting to know each other and doing bits because everybody in it loves comedy.
But I wanted to ask you really quick, is that your, because I've done media junkets, yes, and I feel like that is like the number one annoying question, which is maybe if you're not in a movie called Tag, but they always ask, so were there any like practical
pranks?
Jokes?
Yeah, like,
I'm like, no, it's a workplace.
That's right.
And, like, well, and we're not George Clooney and Brad Pitt.
That's so Hannibal and I, it's really a funny thing you bring up because for no reason, I was paired up with Hannibal. So, you know, you always get paired up with somebody and it's always random and you're always like, oh, great. You get whoever it is, you're like, oh, that's my partner in crime for 3 days. And Hannibal's obviously really funny.
So funny.
And we start doing the press and they start doing pranks and he and I come up with this bit that he was the prank guy. And, you know, he's this generation's George Clooney. We said Clooney. And we said, like, you know, like Clooney and Pitt and the boys used to do it. Well, we're bringing it back. And I'm like, you would never know what old Hannibal B's going to do. I'm on set. And we would, like, make up these ridiculous chairs where we're like, I'm on set. This guy throws something at my head, knocks me out. It stops production for 2 hours. Cast and crew, we're dying laughing at the prank. Because it's like, my generation... There's never been a prank. If somebody actually pranked me at work and it fucked with my day, I would be like, what's up, homie? Like,
yeah, what are you thinking?
Why? Hey, man, it's 7 a.m. on a Tuesday.
Right.
We're deep in Santa Clarita on location. Right. It took me an hour and 15 minutes to get here. What the fuck did you do and tape my trailer up like this?
Right.
Who's going to do it? Is it going to be me or are we getting a... Who's cleaning this up?
Yeah, get all these Cheez-Its out of my trailer.
Like it's for what? What's the bit, man? What assistant did you pay to do this? And also, why?
Right.
Now, if you're George Clooney and you guys are like flying helicopters over islands, that's another galaxy. God bless. To all future broadcasters, that's just not a world I live in.
Right.
Thank God someone finally said it.
But I wonder if there's... Hannibal and I were talking. I wonder if there's like a list of questions they're supposed to ask. And if they... I'm going to point over here to Warner Brothers for a second. Is there kind of a list of questions? No.
No, but as someone who was a journalist, I did junkets as a journalist for People Magazine, for Us Weekly and stuff. I started in journalism before that. It's easy to ask those generic questions because that's kind of like what people will print because it's just the easy kind of like, how's married life? Or,
yeah,
you know,
couldn't you also on a junket, couldn't you just take the interview somebody else did and print those answers as your own? And then while you get those weird 5 minutes,
technically not.
You have to get it yourself.
Technically, it's supposed to be your, you know, like thing. Yeah. So
it's stealing if you take some.
It is. When I would do a junket and I would write up the whole thing, I'd have to put like my question, this. And so then they could say like People Magazine, like we asked this.
Well, that actually makes more sense.
But I was told and many times asked about pranks, many times over the years.
But that makes more sense that you can't write those things up and you can't say, I heard him say that.
I'm sure people do it.
I know, but it's in bad form. So they're like, well, I know I'm going to get good answers here. Yeah. If I go off script and go weird, they might talk for 5 minutes and then I got nothing.
Yeah, that's true. Right. That's very true. Very true. So
well, look at us. So Matt, I'm giving you 5 points because I learned something.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, my years as a celebrity journalist are paying off.
But then I'm gonna take 2 away from TMZ.
Strong. Take that, Harvey.
Actually, Josh, I'm giving you I'm gonna give you the 5 actually because of the broadcaster.
My man.
And see? Yeah, okay.
Wait, what about our poker connection? Poker?
Now that you're begging, I would have if I came to it myself, but now that you beg for it, you're down to 1 point. So right now we got Josh 5, we got Matt 1.
I'm going to just stay quiet the rest of this.
Dude. But I will say the poker, that is right, and I would have given points for that. Wow.
Okay. Question.
Yes.
I saw on the trailer, it says brief nudity in tag. Is there brief nudity? No?
I don't think so.
There must be some cheek.
Oh, yes, there is.
Is it male or female?
It's male.
Oh, I'm in.
Matt. Yeah. Cancel Christmas.
You know what?
Is it you?
No.
Oh.
It's a last second thing the director put in at the end. No, I think it's the documentary footage at the end. So there's a moment at the end, and it's not a spoiler, it doesn't matter, but they show at the end of the movie during the credits, you see footage of the
actual
Tag Brothers.
Got it.
Them playing. And it's like, you know, for me, honestly, it's one of those great moments of a movie where you're like, oh, you know, in the movie when you then get a photo of the real people.
Yeah, that
like,
always works. Fun.
It worked.
Always works.
Knocked Up did it great when it was like, you got to see all those characters as like babies.
Yeah.
Right.
Where you're like, oh, those great, like, oh, everything's real.
Yeah.
This movie does that. And there's one footage of a guy gets tagged while taking a shower.
Oh.
And he runs out. And
I've done that.
In like a far shot, you see his entire naked body.
Oh. If I didn't have enough reasons to see this movie. Yeah.
So you get to see an older man's dick and balls.
Oh, older.
And with that segue, have you ever had to be naked in a movie?
No.
Ish.
No, and I'm kind of a prude about it.
Really?
Yeah. I wouldn't want, you know, I've done like cool indies with like my buddy Joe Swanberg, who loves doing like kind of sexy stuff.
One of our fans actually asked if there will be any new movies with Joe Swanberg on the horizon.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm doing his TV show, Easy. We're going to shoot an episode in August for that.
Nice.
But I gave it a lot of thought because there was an era where we did Drinking Buddies, and then I was in his world, and his world is more, you know, hell, let's just shoot it. Just, you guys want to just hop in bed? Like, well, there's something cool about this, obviously.
Right.
But at the end, I just thought, like, be so embarrassing to have like my butt cheeks in a movie and like trying to be sexy.
Yeah.
And it never works for me. I never, whenever I'm watching a movie and there's any bit of nudity, I am not a sophisticated enough viewer to be like if you're in a movie, Josh, and I'm watching it and your character's name is like Monty, and you know, Monty's like a drug guy.
I'm taking notes because I'm writing this movie.
But if I'm in and I'm thinking Monty, like, at first, I'll be like, oh, that guy Josh is giving a really good performance.
Right.
And then somewhere deep in that first act, I'm like, Monty's just living it. Right. I'm now believing that Josh and Monty are one thing.
Right.
The second those pants go off, that's Josh's dick.
I saw Josh's dick.
I'm like, oh, weird. That's that guy. That's Monty's butt. Like, and I'm like, no, it's like, I don't like that. So I'm like, no, it all takes it out for me. If I see a girl's boobs, I never think like, oh, that's, you know, her characters. I just think, like, weird.
Right.
Really? Like, never?
It never, I mean.
Same here.
It never works for me. It all of a sudden just becomes a weird. That actress or that actor decided to do that, and that's their body.
Right. But most of the reasons, when they do it, they say it's because the character calls for it or because it calls for it, but it still takes you out.
It takes me out.
Yeah. It does too to me, but I think there are some, maybe it's because it's boobs and I don't look at them in general, but there have been some where I've just like, oh yeah, that's right. You know, like it's part of it they're making out and I don't even notice. You know, but then I think about some male stuff and I pretty much can genuinely point to the butts and the dicks.
Now, what if it's not a movie, it's not a piece of art, but you're going to interview someone, you're going to meet someone, and you know that a photo leaked, or perhaps they, you know, they're just known for, can you control yourself and do the humane thing and not Google them beforehand?
That's a big question.
Cause I can't.
I don't think I could. I don't think I could, man.
You wouldn't Google it.
No. Could
you
not.
Right. You couldn't restrain yourself.
No, of course not.
Right?
Of course. I'd do it anyway. Who cares if they're coming in for an interview?
Although I didn't, the flapping, whatever that whole thing was, when those girls, when all. I didn't Google those girls.
Yeah, I didn't either.
There was a thing 5 years ago or whatever. That like a bunch of girls.
Like Jennifer Lawrence. It was all these people they got hacked into, and they didn't put their pictures out there. Someone else.
I had heard about it late. I'm also like the when it came to me, it was I had heard through others like, you know, she's devastated. Like this, like she, like I know a friend of a friend. She's like really depressed.
Right.
Like this feels like such a deep violation, and I'd heard it. It all came through that.
Right.
So. That was
one. It was
one of those things where I did have moments alone where I would be like old pervy Jake's in this mode. And I would be like, it's just everything about it. It's like even with porno, when you get like a photo of something and you're like, that scene is just too gray area.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm out. Like everybody pull back. Like what are we doing with sexuality? Slow down. That's not a good scene, folks.
Yeah, it goes too far.
It goes too, and I'm like, and I know we all get so oversensitized that you're like, well, whatever, I'm in my room jerking off. Life's crazy. But it's like, what you're looking at is affecting your brain and you're part of it. You're like, just be careful, dummy.
Yes. Funny that you should bring that up, because one of our questions from Teddy Esquire was, what are your Pornhub search terms?
My Pornhub search terms. I don't have any go-to. I'm more of a images guy.
Pictures?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, I can't anymore.
Yeah. Good imagination, I see fantasy world.
Yeah, I...
you make your own stories.
Let's just get into it. I don't like porno where one person's not having a good time. It's just deeply at my age now. I'm 40 years old. I'm not 17 years old running around with a hard on, and my logic and my brain are part of my sexual experience. And the idea of somebody who's being paid and hates that muscular greased up dude or whatever the scene is, the shoot day of it as a professional actor, if I'm thinking that poor lady had a rough day at work, that doesn't make me feel like, let me unzip my jeans, boys. That just doesn't do it for me on a fundamental level. But if I see a photo of somebody who's just an attractive human, I can go, let me write a fantasy here. And, okay, and now we're over here.
You think I look good on a horse? Well, thanks, babe. I've been riding this thing forever. Very intellectual.
Exactly.
That's a very intellectual approach to it. I like that. That's great, man. That's
so
very cool.
I think in a roundabout way, he's revealed that his search terms are like both having a great time.
Yeah. Very sweet. That's very sweet. He looks out for everybody's happiness in the situation. Wow, that's great. And plus, they're playing pranks on each other all day during the filming, so it's like poor people aren't having a good time.
That's right.
So should we do the Howard Stern question, which I feel he would say, so you got the big movie coming out, here it is.
The Stern question. So are you so petrified it's not gonna work? I know you do. You check the numbers? Are you a box office guy?
You already got it. Right. And everything could change Monday.
Stern
is that
question.
How you, I didn't know that,
I'm a big a Stern setup. Guy too. Amazing. One funny thing about Stern was I would just did during the press line. One of the questions they all ask is, living or dead, name three people you would want to play tag with. And I don't have a go-to answer on that. And then I finally found my go-to answer, and it was Andre the Giant, Eric the Actor.
Great.
And then my third's always throwing. But Eric the Actor is such a fucking, or was such a prince on that show.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. for sure. His attitude.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's also about being in Hollywood and dealing with actors and producers and writers who are just little nightmares.
Yeah.
But his little attitude, you're like, you are not grateful about anything, and you're so mad at everybody. Even when they're helping him, you'd be pissed. And I honestly, I never wanted a spirit broke, and I was always like, come on, Eric, keep going. Right. Yeah. Keep going, man. Yeah. You're right. Like, keep fighting everybody. You've had a rough deal and fuck them, dude.
Eric the actor is different than High Pitch Eric, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I grew up, like, my mom was, they had an agreement with my dad that she could only sleep with two other people, and it was Howard Stern and Michael Bolton. So we listened to Howard
Pass.
I mean, yeah. And my dad's a good looking guy. I don't know.
It's an interesting hall pass.
So, like, literally, my mom had a poster of Michael Bolton in the closet. But so we would listen to Stern, like, in elementary school and stuff, going to.
I'll give you two points for that.
Oh, yeah. So I know it, but I haven't listened to it since the series.
You're missing out.
In terms of that question, and just all honesty,
yes,
I hope it works, because if it does, really, like, look, we're against Incredibles 2.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to do what it's going to do.
Yeah. Right.
But if our movie does what it needs to do and it lives the next week when Jurassic comes out and word of mouth keeps going and it spreads, I would prefer it to do good, just so, apart from liking everybody involved and enjoying the process, it's easier to cast me in another job.
Mm, right.
And it's not my movie. So if it blows up, it's not like, holy shit. Like,
we can't hire
him. Let's pave the streets with Jakey J. Gold.
Right.
But it's also not my failure. But a win just helps.
Yeah.
Right.
So, and it also, a win just makes it more fun. If you come out and it loses, it makes the whole experience, when you look back, it's like everybody's trying to cut it out of their memory, but all those memories are there.
Right.
And I'm a big believer in, if you do a job, it's supposed to be funny. You're supposed to have a lot of, you know, really strange days, and it happens. You have, like, really strange life experiences. And ideally, you can keep in touch with these people, and when you see them, you have, like, oh, and remember that.
Right.
If the movie gets killed by critics or no one sees it,
it just disappears.
When you then see each other, you almost don't want to talk about it. It's like a big loss, and you're like, but we didn't lose, motherfucker. We didn't direct the movie.
Right. Right. We had a good time.
That third act, he made a mistake. That was bad. Right. We were in the first two acts. Why is it our failure too?
Right.
But it just is. It just has a stink on it.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't have a stink, it's just always better to say, like, you know, 5 years from now, me and old Ren Dog, that's what I also call it. But if you see everybody, if there's, you know, a buddy, somebody texts, I'm in New York, who's here, and you're all there,
right,
and it's the kind of the cast of it, and the movie did great.
It's a celebratory.
That night feels more like, hey!
Yeah.
So that, for that, I hope it wins.
Yeah. Is there any part of you that's conflicted with Jurassic coming out the next week, as you were part of the franchise, or are part of the franchise?
Well, Jakey J's not in it.
Yo, I know.
Yeah, so,
but it's part of your, you know.
No, I'm not conflicted. Okay. I want Tiger to be pretty good. I mean, Colin Trevorrow, who I think he just EPs this idea.
Yeah,
but he might have
it.
Written it too, though. I know he's really hands on.
Yeah.
He's an old friend. So we kind of came up around the same era.
And really?
Yeah. And when we did, I was doing, like, YouTube shorts with him at the beginning of YouTube.
Oh,
wow.
And when he was putting Safety Not Guaranteed together, he was the no name.
Right.
So, like, Aubrey was our star. I think I was just about to, I just did the pilot. So he's like, I could get you on as, like, the third lead. Huh. Aubrey will do it, who I knew. But we were, by saying yes to Colin's thing, we were, like, helping him get this little one off the ground. And so I'll always have love for Colin, like, that era. But watching him direct that movie, it was one of those once in a lifetime experiences where, when you do indies or you do TV and you watch guest directors, most people are about the same talent level. You know, it's like most people are pretty good. Some people are actually shockingly bad, and you go, like, wow, they really don't know. They've talked their way into a job that they can't do.
Right.
But that's rare. And what's also really rare is, oh, this person's going to take it to another level. And Colin had, even on that, like, oh, you're going to make a jump.
Right.
You are actually bigger than a $700,000 movie, even though there's nothing wrong with an indie.
Right.
It's something that I love. But you were like, oh, Colin, your talent is going to be something else.
Yeah.
And then I remember him texting me something about Star Wars and these crazy meetings he's having. And then when he got Jurassic, there was no part of me that felt shocked.
Yeah.
Right.
Because I was like, he's kind of got that thing in him that he sees a big studio movie.
Right. Huh.
So I hope it does well for him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But if it's like, Jurassic World 2 is so amazing, it just blew everything out of the water, I'll be like, hey, man.
Yeah, what the shit?
Can't we both win?
God.
We don't need some new Jurassic numbers, but come on.
That's true. Well, I want to, because we only have like 10, 15 more minutes. I want to ask a couple. Number one, you just turned 40, correct? Mm-hmm. How did you celebrate the big 4-0?
The family and I went up for a cabin, but I got a funny story about why I was late today in terms of being 40. That I wasn't going to tell because I didn't know how this thing was going to go, but now that I see what
you get
this
the
kind of thing is. So, right. This is
but you like this kind of thing. This is,
yes,
this is
for
okay,
sure.
Good.
So, true story. I left a meet. I'm developing a TV show with my friend Josh Greenbaum, the documentarian. We were in Burbank, and my plan was I was going to go from Burbank to home, and they were going to send a car, and the timing was perfect. But I've got this, like, something's going on with my stomach, and there's, like, a weird pain where I'm like, I don't know what's cooking. But I've just been on the road, and maybe it's a bit of a booze cruise, you know. I haven't been around my family, so all of a sudden, tequila's so great. Where I'm like, oh, I don't have to put anyone to bed? I would love to drink that
all by myself in my hotel room until my eyes go black.
Join me, my friend Don Julio.
Well, what's at the bottom of this bottle? Let me find out. And so I was like, oh, there's that Toluca Lake SAG hospital. Oh. So I'll just pop in. It was about 12:45.
The Actors Clinic.
The Actors Clinic.
The Toluca Lake Health Center.
Yeah, that's right.
What is this? I don't even know what this is.
You should go look for guests for the podcast. Hang out out there.
That would be a perfect. But it's just, you know, it's just a doctor's office, but it's you can treat it somewhat like urgent care, but your info is all on file with your insurance.
But you have to be an actor to go.
No, you. I mean, they do WGA. They do.
I see.
You
I
have
see.
To be in crew.
Yeah.
Anybody who works in our industry that has some form of insurance through one of the unions is
Got
my
it.
Guess.
Good to know.
So I go in there, and the doctor is a really sweet woman. She says very quickly, why don't we just put you on some antibiotics, real basic thing. This should be fine. I checked your blood work and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, great. Very casual. I'm like, there's nothing severe, but I was here.
Yeah.
And she said, yo, you just turned 40. She goes, you had your prostate checked.
Chill.
True story. This was today.
This was today?
This was an hour ago.
Wait. I knew you looked different. I knew it.
And it's been something I've had a lot of anxiety about.
Wait, so did you do it?
Well, slow down, big daddy. Okay. Let's do a little foreplay here, Dad. Wow. Minus 2 points for jumping the gun. You're down to one. Josh, I'm going to give you two more.
What? You're for the restraint.
For the restraint. So I go in there, and she goes, have you had your prostate checked? And I was like, No, but and I know, and my friend Steve Berg and I, who's in the movie, he plays the bartender, but he's one of my first friends out here. We've been talking for years about one of the things that sucks about getting older is health. And like one of them is there's going to be a day where someone's going to stick their finger in your butt and feel around.
Yeah.
And you have to just take it. Hmm. And you can't be jokey about it. You just have to live through that moment. As I was like 38, one of the things each year of my birthday was I would think like, weird, 40's coming because of that.
Right.
But I haven't made the appointment yet, and I've been thinking, press tour is going to go on. I got some family stuff I'm going to do in July. I'm going to do a doctor around August in my head.
Uh-huh.
I'm a believer in, I would rather a bad moment right now than
Give
one in 10 minutes.
Got it.
So if somebody says like, we got to do this thing where we're all going to cut our finger. It's going to happen. I'm the guy who just grabs a knife and does it really fast.
Right.
I need it now. And so she goes, you had your prostate exam. And I go, no, I'm going to make it. And she goes, I could do it now. And I thought, oh, no. And I go, yeah, sounds great. Let's do it. And she said,
cut my finger while you're at it.
And she said, she goes, I could check you front to back. And I said, sure.
Wait, what?
She's like doing a full check on
everything.
Everything.
Okay.
So a minute later of being essentially in urgent care, my pants are at my ankles. She's looking at my penis, which is such a weird experience.
Oh, no.
This does not, it's such an out-of-body experience to have a professional 50-year-old lady, you know, touching my testicles and being like, any sensitivity? And me being like, absolutely, but being like, not at all. I'm going to pretend like this isn't unbelievably erotic.
Just in my soul.
Yeah, everything. And right. Then that happens. I was like, all right, be cool about it. And I was like, you know, I'm like honestly trying to like maintain a level of like professionalism. I was like, so does everything look normal? And she was like, yes. She's like, there's nothing abnormal. And then she goes, lean over the bed, put your elbows down and put your butt out a little bit. Everything in me screamed no. Honestly, in a very real way. Like everything was like, oh my God, I've seen this scene in a movie.
Yeah, road trip.
Road trip. This can't be happening in real life.
Right.
And elbows down, sitting there. She put her hand on the side of my butt cheek, and she said, "That's my hand. Do you feel that pressure?" Which I don't know why she did that.
She's easing you into it. I see.
The whole thing did help, but it also threw me off. Where I said, "Yeah, I feel your hand on my butt cheek," and then she goes, "You've never done this before," and I go, "Nope." And she goes, "There's going to be a little bit of pressure," and I go, "Like, yeah," and. Finger in the butthole.
Greased up?
Yeah, she all greased right. it up.
Kind of her.
Yeah, kind of her. And I'll tell anybody, you know, this is my PSA to the good people who are aging. Mm-hmm. We should get this stuff checked out.
Yes.
It is unpleasant, but it is not the worst nightmare I thought it would be. It went really fast.
Wow.
She said, "I'm pressing against your prostate right now." And I was like, "Oh, yeah?" And she's like, "Does it hurt?" And I'm like, "No." She's like, "Any sensitivity?" I was like, thinking besides your finger in my butt? No. And then all of a sudden it was over and she goes, "There's nothing wrong. You're okay."
Wow. Okay.
Like, well, all right. I was like, see, now I don't have to do it for another 5-6 years.
I know. I wonder, because you made a snap judgment in that moment or a snap decision to say, yeah, let's go.
Which surprises me because it seems like you would want someone that you've met before.
I don't have like a go-to doctor. That's been an anxiety. I don't have my guy or my girl.
But I wonder if she made a snap decision when she walked in the door and said, "I'm checking this guy's prostate."
Yeah, that's true.
I'm putting it out. Like, there could have been five.
Minus
guys
all your points. You're at zero for scaring me.
Think about it.
I'll tell you one of the things I truly liked about her.
I love the pinky up as you did that.
Amazing. I didn't even mean to. One of the things, and this is about being an actor, and Josh, you're going to deal with this when you're 40.
Great.
One of the things I thought is, how embarrassing if she recognizes me.
Yeah.
Right.
How utterly embarrassing for her to go home to like her teenage daughter and be like, "How was work?" And then say like, "You don't tell anybody this." Right. "You promise?" Like, "Of course, Mom. I know the rules about you being a doctor. I put my finger in Nick Miller's butt today." You know, but like that really got me of like, and when this woman came in, she was older. She was Asian. She had no link. Now, maybe it's the thing we were saying earlier that she knows how to do it in her eyes, but she had a thick accent and there was a vibe of she had no idea who, there was no link to each other.
Right.
There was no moment of like, ooh, an act, nothing. It was, this woman came in, hard professional, asked all the right questions. And when she said, "You want to do it," I honestly had that thought of like, "This is my lady. Let's do this now.
Yeah.
And I would see her again. Because I thought, I don't know if you can find a doctor out of that place that you go to. But I was like, I liked everything about this. It seemed like she asked all the right questions. It wasn't interpersonal.
Right.
Some doctors do that thing, which I never like, where they go like, 40, like, got kids? I'm like, why are you at? What does it have to do with my body?
Right.
What does it have to do with my health? Just whatever is about, this is science, and you're a scientist.
Right.
The inner person, I can go see a therapist. Yeah, you just help me with this.
But you know what? It's got me wondering, since this is an actor-based like hospital, like who else is but has she put their finger up of, right?
Well, she had pictures of Bradley Cooper. She went up there. Benny Affleck, she went up there. Yeah. Everybody signs.
Autographed.
Delroy Lindo. So, yeah.
like you're at a deli. Yeah. It's got the autographed.
It's a dry cleaner, basically. Yeah.
Thanks so much, Carol. You're the best. You're always gentle.
Wow, Victor Goober.
No, so you have been fingering buttholes since the 80s. Oh, yeah. It's like the comedy store. Some are black and white. Mine's color, so I got a new one.
There you go. Wow. Well, I think, yeah, let's get you out of here. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank
Where
you
do
guys.
We stand point wise?
I mean, no, sadly, you can be honest. Right now,
we can do one last push. No pun intended.
Well, I got to say, Josh, I think you did a really good job.
Thank you.
Matt, I honestly think you did a really good job.
Thank you.
My friends call me Rule Book because I like to make a lot of rules on stuff, and I'm not one of those guys who's just trying to be sweet and say everybody's a winner, because I don't believe that.
Thank you. We've had that many times, and it's I don't love that.
But I am going to say, I think you guys complement each other well.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have a very different vibe. Mm. Mm. You're not filling the same space, either comedically or as broadcasters.
Wow. Thank you.
I felt like you could ask more of the hard questions, but mostly where this happens, I feel like I'm on this side of the couch alone, but I didn't, Josh. I felt like, we're kind of being interviewed together.
Yes, sir. It's what I offer.
I'm going to say, and I know it's gross, but gentlemen, this one's a tie.
Oh, what? Rule book.
God. I'm sorry. Look, I told you it's the, but here's the truth.
Okay.
It's just the right answer. So I know, like, sometimes a fight in MMA, everybody boos when you're like, I fucking paid all this. It's a draw. Right. And if you rewatch the fight, it's a draw.
Right.
Now you'll see my sheet. My sheet has 1-0, yes. But I erased all yours as a bit.
Yes.
Right. Sure. Okay.
So I'm like, if I'm actually being fair of who won this, and I know it's not a satisfying thing for the audience, but also fuck you guys because this isn't my podcast.
I don't care if you ever come back.
I don't care, you know. In a year or so, I'm going to be doing one too. It'll be called Yours is Curious. This one's Allegedly. Mine's going to be like, you know, Making It Happen. Talking It Out. Or Good Friends with Mike and Renner.
Buzzword.
Chat.
Yeah.
That's great.
But this one's a draw. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, I'll accept that. I guess go see Tag.
Yeah.
Everybody, no, seriously. Go check out Tag. It looks hysterical. It comes out on June 15th. And thank you so much for coming
thank
in. And
guys,
I hope you had a good time.
Yeah, I had a blast.
I'm sure you do a lot of the press stuff. So we try to be a little different than the regular route.
This was good fun, guys.
All right.
Thank you,
Josh, for filling in. And
thank you.
Everybody, we will talk to you next time.